Hey everyone, welcome to the very first episode of Average Guy RV Obsessions. My name is Todd, and I'm just your everyday guy who happens to be completely hooked, obsessed on RVs. Anything from camping in them, fixing them up, tailgating in them, shopping for them, and honestly, sometimes just sitting in my yard looking at them like they're art. They are basically art on wheels. This podcast is all about sharing those stories, the good, the bad, the funny, the frustrating, because let's be real, RV life is never boring. I'll share the lessons I've learned, the mistakes I've made, directions that I've taken to center my life around RVs, and hopefully connect with people who are just as RV obsessed as I am. In future episodes, I'll talk about my first RV, an older Class C motorhome, the newer modern 2018 Jayco Class A motorhome, and my vintage Winnebago Chieftain from 1976. I'll discuss remodeling projects, road trips, and all the crazy traditions I've somehow convinced my family to go along with, usually acceptingly, but sometimes reluctantly. But for today, episode one, we're starting where it all began, my RV origin story. How I went from being just a guy who liked the idea of camping to a full-on RV addict who spends way too much time tinkering, planning trips, shopping on Amazon and eBay, and dreaming about the next adventure. So, let me introduce myself a little more. I'm Todd, I'm in my 50s, married to this amazing wife, and together we're raising teenage twins, which is a whole adventure in itself. I've been teaching for over 30 years, which is kind of crazy to think about it. One of the real perks of being a teacher, besides shaping young minds and the rewards that go along with it, is the vacation time. My wife, who's also in education, we've always had the same breaks together, winter, spring, summer, Thanksgiving, and the four-day holiday weekends. Often teachers would use that time for professional development, picking up a second job, or simply unable to afford the cost of travel. So that time has always been sacred to us, and we always promise ourselves that travel will be a priority. It's family time, and we build so many of our best memories around it. Like I said, travel has always been a big part of who we are. But instead of airports and hotels, which tended to be limiting, especially on a teacher's budget, we eventually shifted into something that felt way more us, RVing. Bringing our house with us, hitting the road, setting up camp, and making adventures at the everyday weekends. So here's the thing, it didn't start out with just an RV, it started small. It started with a few little sparks, kind of that stuck with me. And once I caught that bug, that was it. I was hooked. The idea of a house on wheels stuck with me. One of the very first sparks, first memories, came from a camping trip that I didn't even see coming. It was our local temple. We're Jewish and belong to our local temple, our local synagogue. While my wife and I were sitting during the high holiday services with another couple who were around our age, we recently befriended them and they seemed kind of cool, so we're flipping through the list of upcoming events in the pamphlet that they always handed out along with prayer books. It included temple information and upcoming schedules. You see these family events, volunteer opportunities, bake sales, etc., etc. And then I saw something that kind of jumped out at me. It was this full-page advertising temple camping trip. I leaned over to my friends and I whispered, "You know, do people actually go on this?" And they kind of smiled, grinned, and said, "Oh yeah, it's a blast. You have to come. All the young families go, and you will love it." So we did. And guess what? That trip was special, and more special than I could have even more imagined. It was this little KOA, maybe 20 minutes from our house, 15 minutes from the temple. Definitely not a five-star camping resort. There was no water park, no lazy river. Just a bunch of campsites, cabins, fire rings, and plenty of fresh air. But it didn't matter. What made it incredible were the people. Families we never talked to before suddenly felt like old friends. We sat on each other's cabin porches, drinking cocktails, swapping stories. The kids were just running around in a very safe environment, playing flashlight tag, getting dirty, just exploring around the campground. And there's just something about being outdoors together. There's no walls, no restrictions, no distractions. And that breaks down the barriers. The dinners were cooked on an open fire by the Brotherhood of the Temple. Kind of a bunch of older guys who would get together, do shots of vodka, and cook for the temple events. As they were chowing down on some prime rib and salmon, freshly cooked vegetables, one of the heads of the Brotherhood, his name was Lewis, came to us with this pork sausage, smothered in sautéed onions and peppers, right off the grill. He said, "Don't tell anyone that I broke the kosher rules, but this sausage is awesome." Ended up being a great memory. That weekend gave me this feeling of connection that I didn't realize I was missing. This community, outdoors, family, kind of all in one place. And I remember thinking that this is really good. This is really good. Something that I can do more of, and I should do more of. And of course, our friends weren't done with us yet. At the end of the weekend, they said, "Hey, if you guys like this, you've got to come with us to Fort Wilderness at Disney." And that's kind of where things really took off. Now, for those of you that don't know anything about Fort Wilderness at Disney, it's one of the largest, cleanest, most interesting campgrounds that I've ever been to. Now, I'm not a Disney guy, but something made it come alive, and I soon realized why people love this quote-unquote Disney magic. It's not just a campground. It was a whole experience. And FYI, I'm not there yet, but I'm completely obsessed with Disney's Fort Wilderness Campground. So back to the story. Not long after, we booked this trip to Disney's Fort Wilderness at the suggestion of our friends. We'd all booked a weekend in February, their family and ours. We rented a pop-up camper, and the pop-up camper company had it delivered and set up for us on one of the campsites. So as we pulled in, there it was. No hassle, no stress. We just showed up, and there it was, waiting like it belonged to us. Chairs were set out on the camping rug. In the pop-up were Disney-themed bedding, stuffed animals for the kids, board games, and suggestions of Fort Wilderness activities. I could still picture when we pulled up, unloading our stuff, and then just instantly feeling at home. The kids were running wild, checking out the playground that was nearby. And if you've ever experienced Fort Wilderness, you know what I mean when I say loops, or going looping. At the fort, there were many loops where you would find these campsites. And each loop was a safe roadway for kids to ride their bikes on and explore on their own. It would have been difficult for you to get lost because you're just going around on a loop. So back to the campsite, we had this cozy space to sleep, little kitchen area, and enough room to feel comfortable, especially with an air conditioning. And even in a Florida February, air conditioning is a must. At night, we hopped on the Disney transportation to go see the fireworks, and then would come back to our quiet little campsite where we would roast marshmallows, play games with the other family, share cocktails, and relax under the stars. It was really the best of both worlds, and it was amazing. And me, I would wake up in the morning and go for this morning walk that was just beautiful, crisp air. And I loved it. I loved just going around and looking at all the rigs, and I was amazed. There was these huge, big motorhomes, small trailers, big trailers, campers. Each site had these sophisticated setups outside of their RV. They had these outdoor kitchens. Some would have sofas, seating areas, kitchens, again, full setups. And I thought, yeah, I could definitely get used to this. That trip flipped the switch, and suddenly I wasn't just camping. I was interested in the RVs and how people use them as a vehicle, no pun intended, to see different places and go to different areas around the country. Now, here's kind of where the story takes a turn, because 2 years later, I was a little bit of a car accident. Thankfully, I walked away okay, but I ended up with a little bit of settle money afterwards. After paying my medical bills, I had enough left over, just a little bit, to make a purchase on what would get me going in the direction that I am now. Now, most people would use that money responsibly. Pay bills, pay towards, you know, retirement, buy a family car. Not me. I wanted to buy an RV. Thankfully, my wife was completely supportive, though she thought I was a little insane, a little nuts, but supportive. And I found this 2000 classy motorhome. It was a Coachman Catalina. And it wasn't in great shape. There were broken windows, water damage in the walls, plenty of quirks, but it rolled down the road without blowing up. Driving that thing home for the first time was equally thrilling and yet terrifying. Here I was behind this wheel of this giant box on wheels with endless possibilities ahead of me. It seemed huge even though it was really only 23 feet long, so it wasn't that big. And then kind of the reality set in. Owning this RV isn't just about adventures. It's about the maintenance, the repairs, the problem solving. Things started to break down, leaks started to spring, and I didn't really know what I was getting into. That Coachman was basically my teacher. Luckily, I had YouTube and internet as my resources, and people were always willing to answer questions and point me in the right direction with my questions and concerns. So over the next year and a half, I learned how to tear out the water damaged walls, patch leaks, replace parts that I didn't even know existed, and manage all the little campsite mishaps, like the hoses that didn't fit, the hookups that didn't work, and the occasional oops, forgot to pack that moment. I learned how to manage the dreaded sewage mishap, which I think everybody has. All good stuff. It was frustrating at times, but it was also exciting. We traveled all over Florida, saw different things, and every problem I solved made me more confident. Each repair made me ponder. That beat up old Coachman turned me from someone who liked RVing into someone obsessed with it. I absolutely loved it. After painting the interior, adding a granite countertop and some fancy add-ons, I would always spend the morning times in my backyard sitting on the RV couch, sipping on my coffee, proud of what I had accomplished. When I look back now, I can see exactly what hooked me. It wasn't just the RVs themselves, though I admit I still geek out at the RV shows, and I'm sure a lot of you do, checking out those layouts and gadgets and things that you don't need, but you always kind of wish you had. Also, what hooked me were the experiences and, of course, the RVs. The Temple camping trip that gave me the sense of community, the Fort Wilderness pop-up that showed me camping could be fun and comfortable, that first RV purchase that gave me the thrill and sometimes the headache of ownership, but most importantly, it gave me that confidence that I can do something that I knew nothing about. And for my kids, it was magical too. Campgrounds gave them that sense of freedom that they couldn't get at home. They could ride their bikes, make new friends, and explore, all in a safe environment. For them, it was independence, and for me, it was the peace of mind. Of course, there were always those rookie mistakes, and I'm sure we've all had them. Hooking up wrong, forgetting those essentials, fixing things the hard way. But some of those stories we all laugh about, and honestly, it was part of the fun. The memories aren't just those perfect moments. Sometimes for the disasters. And I still remember when I was a kid and I would tent camp, the best memories were when we were in a tent, drenched by a strong storm, miserable, cold, laughing at ourselves, but those are the ones we remember. So that's my RV origin story. From a Temple camping trip to Disney pop-up to buying my first Class C with that settlement money I probably should have spent more wisely. But I still don't regret it one bit. And that's where the obsession started. In upcoming episodes, I'll dive deeper into life with all three of my motorhomes, my first trial RV, and my two current RV rigs, that modern 2018 Jayco Elante, and my vintage 1976 Winnebago Chieftain, which is basically a rolling time capsule. We'll talk remodels, road trips, tailgating traditions, and yes, even the mechanical headaches that keep me busy on the weekends. But most of all, we'll talk about RV obsessions. I know I'm not the only one out there who is like this, and I know some of you are too. I'd love to hear from you. If you got your own RV origin story or a funny camping memory, or how you become obsessed with RVs, just reach out. Maybe I'll share it on a show in the future. Because this isn't just about me, it's about building community of average RV fans who just love the life cycle. So listen, thank you so much for tuning in for the very first episode of Average Guy RV Obsessions. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast with a friend who might just be as RV obsessed as we are. I'm not just an average RV guy with some not-so-average RV obsessions, and I can't wait to take you on for this ride. Until next time, see you down the road.